Praise the living God. I want to point out something very quickly, then we go back into worship, because I feel worship is a way to break all yokes. Praise the living God. I noticed a number of things, and many of you will perhaps be able to connect with the things that I noticed. Ecclesiastes chapter 10 verse 7. Now, if you are a Christian and you're not affiliated to the spiritual realm in terms of knowledge, if you are not conscious that there's a world beyond this one that we concurrently work with and walk in, and concurrently it affects us, if you're not aware of that, then please be more conscious. I need you to understand that there's a lot more going on in the world than we can imagine. And so I noticed one thing when I was looking around and around here, and I noticed some things. And some of you might have some of these questions. That it is actually interesting that the way life is, it is possible for a person to be talented and a less talented person succeeds them. It is possible for you to be a very good singer and a person who has a voice that is less, what's the word? Less what? Less magnificent. Okay. A voice that is not as good as yours succeeds on the face of this earth. You see them rising. I've met people, I sit with people week in, week out, and it's one of the beautiful things about being a man of God. You meet different people of different walks of life. And when you meet different people of different walks of life, your perspective about life just begins to broaden. If it was narrow before, it broadens. It's one of the most beautiful things about being a minister. And I noticed that recently I met a genius. What in my version of what I would call a genius. This person was from the village. Okay? And when they came to meet me, the more they talked, the more I realized, oh my God, this guy is actually a genius. It's just because opportunity has not yet found him. He was talking about opening up clocks and fixing them. Talking about he could look at something and know how it works, but he's never been taught. And he started talking about coming up with new forms of fuel. I said, "Fool, what village are you from?" And I looked at this guy and I said, "Lord, how is this guy, first of all, broke? Second of all, unknown. I've gone to places where I've gone to ministries where I've walked in and the room has 5 people. And as I sit and I listen to the man of God, the man is drenched in revelation. He's so gifted. Why is the room empty?" You understand? Some of you, okay, let me speak at your level. The person who seems to be less beautiful than you, is the one who, no, we don't say ugly. A person who is less beautiful than you, is the one who happens to be getting the ring on the finger. Meanwhile, you got it all going on. You understand? You got it all going on and nothing. And so it's a very strange, it's an anomaly in life. And that's what, you know, there are many revelations that can come from Ecclesiastes chapter 10 verse 7. Many levels of revelation. But one is this that I've been explaining, that a servant can be on a horse and a prince walking. In other words, someone who you're better than can be ahead of you. And you ask yourself, how? And you see, it's a strange thing about life, because there are many reasons why something like that can happen. You see, the world that we live in is influenced by the spirit. In the past, a witch was identified by their beliefs and where they are located. So you would go to a particular place to find a witch. Nowadays, the witches wear suits and are in skyscrapers. So if you are still looking for the witch that is in the place that you looked at or you've read about in the past, you'll be shocked that the most powerful witches wear suits and pass by you every single day. And you know, the way you perceive things, you must understand that the spirit world has kind of changed its operation because of the times that we're in. And so something can seem like it's normal, but it has been packaged to meet the time that we're in. And so I looked around, because I told you, I noticed people, and there's an author I met who wrote a book, and they were such a fantastic writer, you know, storyteller. But when they wrote the book, few people bought it. You know? Then I realized that this thing, you know, when the Bible says in Ecclesiastes 9:11, the race is not for the swift, nor the battle for the strong. Actually, let's go there. And some of you already know that. I returned and saw under the sun. So the wise man has noticed this, that the race is not for the swift. In other words, just because you're fast does not mean that you will win. Nor the battle for the strong, neither yet bread to the wise. I remember when I was in campus, there was this guy who was always hitting 4.8, you know, 4.7. In the end, you know, his CGPA, for those who do not understand the CGPA, cumulative grade point average, his CGPA was 4.9. Okay? So one day, years later, I'm taking a walk somewhere there in Kampala, and I see the guy. Guy says, "Man, pray for me. I failed to find a job." What? It's been 10 years. But he had a first class. Bread, neither yet bread to the wise. Says, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill, but time and chance happens to all. Now, what this scripture is saying is that irrespective of the situations that everyone is in, every one of us has a point where chance and time comes. And how you utilize that point in time is very crucial. Now, by the grace of God, is that even if you miss it, it just repeats itself. But you must understand the discerning of time. Trust me, your situation was never supposed to be permanent. There's a point in your timeline where time and chance comes. But can you be able to discern it? Praise the living God. A few years back, I noticed that there are many reasons why people can find themselves in situations where there's someone they're better than goes ahead of them. And one of them could be delay. There is such a thing as a spirit of delay. Now, in the Bible, it's not mentioned as the spirit of delay, but it's implied through scenarios. And a spirit or an atmosphere of delay can be upon a person where everything, while everyone else is experiencing either normal speed or quickening, things just seem to take time. The moment, you know, ladies, you know, some of you finished campus with other people, marriage, and then you, 10 years down the road, God forbid, but if you're already there, it's okay, your time has come, but 10 years down the road, and there seems to be there's actually a thing called the spirit of delay, and the opposite of it is called the spirit of quickening or the spirit of speed. It's not a being, it's an atmosphere that encompasses someone. Amen. And a good thing can be around someone, and for some reason, if everyone else, it can even go all the way to exams. You know, everyone else seems to be finishing on time, but you never, you know, you're always that one person, no matter how many questions they are, you just don't finish on time. It goes to the smallest details, and the thing seems to be around you. So one reason is the spirit of delay, and I'm going to explain it quickly. Another reason is foundations. You see, there are good foundations and there are bad ones, demonic ones. When a foundation is demonic, either the person who's standing on it initiated it somehow, or someone initiated that foundation for them. And so they're standing on it. Now, if it is demonic, the devil doesn't even need to attack you. You know, sickness, what? The foundation just does it for you. It just, as long as you're on it. You know, I've seen people have these experiences. A guy approaches a lady and he's interested in her. Goes back home, and in the night a demon appears and says, "Leave her alone. She's mine." And he never tells you that that's the reason he has withdrawn. I don't know if you get what I'm saying. Because there was a foundation somewhere. There was a demonic foundation. That's why the Bible says it. if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Now that's referring to the good foundations. If they're destroyed, what can you do? You find yourself in a place where nothing can be done. If that foundation of God that was laid for you, if it is destroyed, the enemy will control everything in your life. Okay? Which is not your portion, eh? And today we're here to just destroy foundations quickly, eh? Demonic ones, eh? So there are many other reasons why specific things can happen like that, but for the sake of time, I won't go into that. So that there is actually a spirit of delay. There's something, an atmosphere that can be around someone and they carry it with them. Now, when there's delay upon your life, sometimes it's demonic. Sometimes God is involved. Amen. And you say, how? Why has he chosen me? Why can't you just pick this thing and put it on my neighbor? Eh? Sometimes God is involved. God can be actually involved. And how do you know that you're walking in delay? How do you know? When the only thing growing in your life is biological. If your age is the only thing growing, there is a spirit of delay over you. Because one time I told you that the only automatic growth is biological. Every other growth must be done on purpose. Okay? Financial, social, anything. So if the only thing in your life growing is how old you are, and we celebrate your birthday every single year, and that's all you celebrate in your life, there's a spirit of delay. The idea of God is that you are supposed to be multiplying. Your life must be a life of abundance. You must move from glory to glory, faith to faith, grace to grace. If that's not happening, there is a problem. Now, this is a very famous story. 1 Samuel 1:1. There was a certain man of that name, of Mount Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu. Go to verse 2. This is tongue twisters. So he had two wives. Now, the order in which they named the wives implies who was first and who was second. So the name of one was called Hannah, so she's first. And the name of the other is Peninnah. And Peninnah had children. Now, the Bible doesn't say it, but from a theological perspective, he said Peninnah had 10 children. Now, I want you to imagine, you got married before this chick. She finds you, and she's the second wife, and has 10 children as you're watching. Huh? And not only that, they say Hannah had been, theologically, had been barren for 20 to 25 years. Now, it would have been okay if she had a support system. But the co-wife was digging it in. Now, some of you have been there, where you're the one who worships God, you're the one who prays and what, then you go home, they tell you, where is your God? You've been there. Some of you, I was in that situation where they say every day you're praying. Now you see, you have no job. You see, look at your children. Some of you know, look at you. Your sisters have got married and you're the oldest. But you're always going to church quoting scriptures. Now Hannah is in this situation. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. Verse 3. And this man went up out of his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. Now later the Bible says that Hannah was going to Shiloh year after year after year after year. It's like some of you coming to fellowship. Year after year after year. You sow after you sowed after you sow. You believe, they pray for you, they pray for you, nothing. Sometimes they even cast out a demon that's not there. Depending on the man of God. Okay? So, and the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. Now, quick one. Eli is a priest. God in the past would speak, first of all, through the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Then he spoke through Moses. Then spoke through Judges. Okay? I'm just giving examples. Spoke through Judges. And now here we are. Eli is a priest, and the Bible says in that time, the word of God was rare. So no one was hearing God. Okay? It was very rare. Now, he has sons, but the sons are off. So ideally, what was on him was supposed to fall on the sons. Eh? Okay? God would ideally have maybe looked at the sons and said, let me choose one. But none. Verse 4. And when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah his wife and to all her sons. You see, there were many. And her daughters. Eh, portions. Verse 5. But unto Hannah, he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah. But the Lord had shut up her womb. This wasn't the devil. You see? Amen. It's not the devil that shut the womb. Eh? The Lord shut it. My God. Now, there are people, I can guarantee you they're here, who God has personally stopped. And you see, the thing is, you can deal with devils. You understand? Eh? If a devil is the one that has shut, but if God has shut, all you can do is wait, and specifically wait prophetically, because people don't even know how to wait. That's for another day. But there's waiting prophetically. Now, God shuts her womb, verse 6. And her adversary also provoked her sore, for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb. They're telling you twice, just in case you think it's the devil. Now, Hannah never knows that it's God who shut. Just like some of you here don't know that it's probably God who's delaying your situation. Now, there are delays that are demonic. There are those that are God. Verse 7. And as he did so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. Verse 8. Then said Elkanah, her husband, to her, Hannah, you know, I don't understand this part of scripture. I don't know what this guy was thinking. Hannah, why weepest thou? Why eatest thou not? And why is thy heart grieved? Am not I better to thee than 10 sons? This is just... That is truly a man just speaking and not understanding. Eh? The woman doesn't have a child. The Bible says, first of all, your desire shall be for your husband. Eh? That's fine. You get married. Now that's sorted. The next desire now is what? Now can you stand there to a woman who has not had a child and you say, am I not more important? Anyway, verse 9. So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord. I have a point to bring out. Verse 10. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept so. Meanwhile, God all this time is hearing her year after year after year. Verse 11. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou will indeed look on the affliction of thy handmaiden and remember me and not forget thine handmaiden, but will give unto thine handmaiden a man child. Give me NKJV, because this is becoming... Okay, then she made a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me, and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a male child. So she's specific. Do not say, just give me a child. Says, a male child. Then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall come upon his head. Now there's so much revelation here, Sidna Sawa. But you see, I'm going to say something that is a deep mystery. Elkanah had all the children that he was supposed to bring onto this earth in his loins. Every man, right now you're sitting here, all the people that are supposed to come are inside the loins of the man. Remember when I taught you? Hebrews chapter 7. Let's go there quickly. Hebrews 7 from verse 9 to 10. Even Levi, who receives tithe, paid tithe through Abraham, so to speak, verse 10. For he was still in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him. Now this is the thing. Levi is, if I'm right, the fourth child. Okay? But the other children are also inside Abraham's loins. Ay, you guys are not getting it. Melchizedek, Abraham gives tithe to Melchizedek. But irrespective of the fact that there were other children inside his loins, it's Levi that gave. Now, even in the loins, the purposes are ordained. This is very, very powerful what I'm telling you. Now, the reason why I'm telling you that, hey, you make me want to teach, don't overclap. Now, the reason why I'm telling you that is because if we go back to Elkanah, let's say he has not yet met Peninnah or Hannah. Inside his loins are the 10 children plus Samuel. Amen. Are you with me?
Yes.
But God seals the womb of Hannah and allows this man to bring Peninnah. And all those other children come through her. But he's waiting for one child. Now, I want you to understand. That one child was not supposed to come through Peninnah. Remember when I taught you Psalms 127 verse 3, it says, children are a gift from God. The fruit of the womb are reward. And I taught you that all children are gifts, but I guarantee you not all of them are rewards.
Amen.
And Samuel was a reward. Amen. Why is he a reward? Because the Bible says, you go on, I don't have time for the story. It says, and she prayed, and the Lord heard her.
Amen.
And remembered her.
Amen.
Now, Samuel was not just her prayer answered. She didn't know that Israel lacked a voice.
Amen.
And so her sealing was not just because of her. It was because the moment someone postured themselves right, they would bring the voice that is supposed to speak for them. Now, there are children that come because of the act. There are those that come because of the posture. Machete kere boso ndaraba. I say again, there are children that come because of the act. And those ones are many. There are those that come not just because of the act, but the posture. And that posture brings forth a reward. And someone gives birth to someone who has a thing on them. Now, God's delays are always for a reason. I realized a while back that there are things on this earth that are there are demons or demonic situations that prayer on its own cannot sort.
Amen.
For example, the spirit of poverty cannot be sorted by prayer alone. Otherwise, all those chaps on Prayer Mountain, I don't know if you get what I'm saying, they would be walking around with Solomonic, you know, money in their pockets. What they're doing has its relevance. But if someone is praying to cast out the spirit of poverty, they're doing only one part, and that can't lift it.
Amen.
On this earth, there are spiritual principles that need to be married in order to create a result. So there are things you can pray for to lift. There are things that need prayer and fasting to lift. The principle of fasting and prayer must be married. If they are not present, that particular thing cannot go. Okay? Now, what I'm telling you is very, 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 very important. And one day I'll teach on principles and things that need to work together to lift certain things off your life. Quickly, when someone is in a situation, deliverance does not mean casting out demons. Casting out demons falls within deliverance. But that's not all deliverance is about. So when we say deliverance, people come here. Someone the other day came and said, Rabbi, I'm bringing people with demons. You bring them. Deliverance is not just about casting out demons. Luke chapter 4 verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me, first and foremost, to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance. Deliverance can be preached. So as I minister the word, you can be set free.
Amen.
Now, please understand, and I say this with all humility, that if you think deliverance is only the drama kind, where we touch someone and they jump, now sometimes those things are very demonic. Sometimes it's just drama. I know, because back in school we used to do it. And we would feel sorry for the man of God and he would continue to fall down. That sometimes when it's led by the Spirit, sometimes, most of the time actually, it's just it's just a lot of drama. Deliverance can be preached. And as you hear the word, as you soak it in, your atmosphere of delay just... So if you come here waiting for the man of God to come and... Janet, you know, Janet, this is your issue, this is your issue, this is your issue, this is your issue. God can shock you. I know people who just by attending somewhere walked out and they were free. Amen. Because you can preach deliverance as I'm speaking now. You can preach it. Amen. So deliverance can come by the word. Deliverance can also come by an anointing. Okay? Now, a deliverance can come by an anointing. The Bible says, by a prophet, the Lord delivered Israel out of Egypt. And by a prophet, they were preserved. Okay? So, in that case, what you need to understand is, give me Psalms 119, 153 to 154. Consider my affliction and deliver me, for I do not forget thy law. 154. Plead my cause and deliver me. Quicken according to thy word. So what he's saying here is that by the release of a word, by the knowledge of the word, by dwelling in scripture, you can be released. Okay? Amen. Isaiah 10:27. And it shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken away from off thy shoulder, and his yoke from off thy neck, and thy yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. So usually an anointing deals with the deliverance of burdens. Burdens. That a good thing is bothering you. It's different from, there's a deliverance from troubles, which is different from a deliverance from a burden. When it comes to troubles, you're in trouble. Let's say you did something you shouldn't have. And things, you find yourself in a situation that is compromising and the whole world is coming against you. That kind of deliverance biblically is by angels. I don't have time. You see, in scripture, whenever someone was in trouble, take Peter was in trouble, put in jail, an angel intervenes for the situation. The Bible says in Psalms 34 verse 7, it says the angels of the Lord encompass those who fear him. Then it says, and delivereth them. There's a deliverance that is done specifically by angelic beings. Now, the reason why I'm telling you, ever find yourself in trouble, learn to call upon God to release his angels. And I don't have time, but there are really categories of these things. An anointing deals directly with a burden. Rabbi, I can't give birth. Okay? Rabbi, whatever it is, whatever your burdens are. Then there is a deliverance that comes to take away ignorance. Sometimes you're in the situation that you're in because you don't know. And so, when knowledge is imparted, the ignorance leaves and you're delivered. Now, there are many kinds within the confines of Scripture. Many kinds, and I don't have time to go into them. But what I want you to know today, I want you to posture yourself, even as I was ministering, that if Hannah could posture herself, and I was talking about a child, but that child can be your situation, and give birth to something that has God in it and on it, then sometimes, and I sense a lot of barrenness in this room now, you will find, there's a time I gave a lady a prophetic word and I got shocked. I so she came to see me and I began to speak to her. I said, what's the issue? She said, I don't have a child. So I said, by this month you're going to have a child. And she tried to stop me. And I didn't understand why she was trying to stop me. So I just continued speaking in Jesus' name. Sealed. Then she tells me, my womb was removed. Hey! I want you to imagine my situation. Man of God. Because you see, and I thank the Lord so much, because if she had told me that in between, I would have changed the prophecy with my mind. And by the way, because of the power and authority of the word, you can change something. But this time it was the Spirit of the Lord who was just continue talking. Then after I went home, I said, hey, this one, if it comes to pass. Now, true story. A person has never come here to testify. I don't know why. True story. Later, I find out, and I don't know how many doctors there are here, but I checked online that actually there's a situation where someone can have a baby without a womb. I don't know how true that was, but I saw it online. So, I started saying, yo, Father, may this manifest. And since I was alone with her in the office, I was like, no one will ever know. But I wish she'd come, because that was a powerful thing. Because later, somehow she got pregnant. Now, I don't know the truth. I don't know the full story, because she never came to see me. I just got a text. The deal is done. So I'm... Now, God is a God of the impossible. You know, child of God, listen to me. As I'm ministering, may you be delivered. Let me tell you, someone there is saying, cha. There are doctors here who are born again, but I've been with some of them and they're like a rabbi. Someone who I told, my mom is sick, what? And I expected the Lord will. And he says, man of God, you know, I've been in these situations. I've seen many sick people and they've died. But don't worry. I said, doctor. So, situations like that. So I've seen such. God is a God of impossible situation. Gets you out of a situation and a trap, and you ask yourself, how on earth? David said, my enemies had surrounded me, but the Lord came and delivered me. May that be your portion in Jesus' name. There was a day I was, and many of you know this, there was a day I was at home sleeping. This was not recent. And a good demon came and started, you know, jumping on top of me. And you've had this, I couldn't scream Jesus and all that. Years ago. So after it had finished doing whatever it was doing, jumped off, I got up and I said, am I not a man of God? And I started to see myself in that scripture that says, Paul, I know. But who are you? That thing bothered me, man. And let me tell you, and you see, there are men of God here. They will never say it on a pulpit, but there are men of God who are oppressed by demons. And they'll come and minister, cast out some, then they follow them home. That is not helpful. And you're laughing. I'm telling you. And I remember when I was having something like that coming in the middle of the night, I needed someone to come in and speak. Because I was saying, in the name of Jesus, you're not coming back. The thing just walks in. And we are quoting scriptures and all that. That's deliverance from by an anointing, where it steps into your situation and sets you free. Now, in Jesus' name, may you be delivered. Amen. I say again, may you be delivered. Amen. From broken hearts in the name of Jesus. Amen. From any circumstances, barrenness in the name of Jesus. Amen. May your season open up. Amen. In the name of Jesus.